Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbath Turning Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. In the Elgin, Texas, today is January 29, 2023, or it is the 8th day of Adar, 2026. We will start our first service today with a song.
There's a light beyond the return. Heavy cow the sea forever, and will only reach the shore that face the queen. One by one we'll gain the portal, there to dwell with the immortal. When they are in the golden bells for you and me, don't you hear the bells now ringing, don't you hear the angels singing? It's a glory, hallelujah, jubilee. And that shore of sea forever, just beyond this shining river, when they ring them golden bells for you and me, we shall know no sin or sorrow in the haven of tomorrow. When our bark shall sail beyond the silver sea, we shall only know the blessing of our Father's sweet caressing. And they ring the golden bells for you and me. Don't you hear the bells not ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? There's a glory hallelujah to the deep. In the port of sea forever, just beyond the shining river, when they ring the golden bells for you and me. When our days shall know their number, when in death we sweetly slumber, when the King commands the spirit to be free, nevermore with anguish laden, we shall reach that lovely Aden, and they'll ring the golden bells for you and me. Don't you hear the bells not ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? There's a glory, hallelujah, jubilee. And the chorus sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, and they ring the golden bells for you and me.
Our sermon, and our sermon is going to be a continuation of Mount Zion, the 11th hour, the name of our title today will be Let Yahweh Reign Over Us. And that's on track 8, Mount Zion, the 11th hour, page 69. Have a prayer, then we'll go into our study. Okay, we're going to go into our study, and our study is going to, we're going to do a little review of what we did before. Let's back up and do a little changing of the title of this sermon. It's going to be Yahweh Makes It His Battle Axe, This Kingdom of Peace. Well, actually, just leave the title like it is. And just say that this kingdom of peace, and he makes it his battle axe, that we're going to back up on page 62, and we're going to start our sermon there. We're going to do just a little review there. Let's look at Isaiah. Let's look at page 61. And it says, behold, I have given him for witness unto the people. Now, who did he give as a witness to the people? Well, his son Yahshua is his number one witness that he gave to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. And then he has done other people this way. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Yahweh thy Yahweh, and for the Holy One of Israel. Yahshua, according to Isaiah, is the Holy One of Israel. When it says the Lord thy God, is talking about the Father, Yahweh. That's what the translators intended. For he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Yahweh, that's the Father, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Well, that's the Father and the Son. That's just the Son. When it says Lord, it says seek ye the Lord. Well, that means seek ye the Yahshua while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55:4-6. Since for the Yahweh's honor and for the prosperity of his people, both the Elijah's message and David's reign took the lives of many. Elijah's message, that's the message we have today, took the lives of the apostate teachers in Israel. That was the 850 false prophets, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel's false prophets. 850, as in 1 Kings 18:40. And David's reign took the lives of the heathen who defied Yahweh and his armies. Now, I represent at the antitypical David today, and 1 Chronicles 22:6-8. Therefore, the work of the Elijah particularly typifies the day of the slaughter in the church, and the reign of the David, the destruction of the heathen, and the possession of the earth. Zechariah 12:8-9. Now, this possession of the earth is the United States first and foremost. Texas is the main land of antitypical Goshen that you had down in Egypt. The best land of Egypt was in the land of Goshen. That's where Joseph brought his father and his family down there and to live in the land of Goshen in Egypt. But we're in the spiritual land of Egypt today. Okay, the land of Israel is going to be redone in these last days. It's going to be a new land. There's going to be a new city there. It's called Yahshua is there. That's the name of that new city. And that's in Ezekiel 48. Okay, it says, the destruction of the heathen and the possession of the earth. So, antitypical David today, that's his message. That's what it's going to cause. the destruction of the heathen, first and foremost right here in Texas. Texas has got to be cleaned out of all the heathen, set up as the antithetical land of Goshen, where the righteous headquarters will come of Israel. Okay. Whereupon it says in Zechariah 12:8-9 and Jeremiah 30:3-9, whereupon Yahshua the son of David shall visibly appear, take unto himself his kingdom. Okay, did you get that? It says, whereupon Yahshua the son of David shall visibly appear here in these last days, in this 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now. He's going to come visibly appear and take possession of his kingdom. And take unto himself his kingdom, Luke 19:15, and glorify it with the everlasting peace. So now Yahshua is going to come to earth. He's going to take over this kingdom. You have the prophecies there in Isaiah 9:6-8, and I just give you Luke 19:15, and Luke 1:32-33. He says, and glorify it with the everlasting peace, as typified by the peaceful full reign of David's son Solomon. And in the days of these antitypical events shall be completely realized the promise. And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou, David, must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. And so I'm this here designated antitypical seed of David that's been raised up here in the 12th parabolic hour. And I have been given a commission to build this house. He shall build me a house. And lo and behold, I'm sitting on property that's not mine, but it belongs to Seventh-day Adventists that were impressed by the Holy Spirit that we should move down here on their property and become their ministers in health and in the Bible. And we are ministering to them. And lo and behold, they have plenty of land to build this everlasting kingdom at headquarters. If they want to, they get the vision. And I will establish his throne forever. So wherever this is built, wherever this antitypical David builds this, he's going to establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take away my mercy away from him. That's who we are. As I took it from him that was before thee. Who is this before me? I joined Verlis W. Johnson in 1970. And he had the commission to raise up this tabernacle of David that had fallen down. He had the commission and to create and restore Yahweh's people back on true time. Yahweh gave him the knowledge of how to make a creation calendar, and he did. And Yahweh told Verlis to teach my people my government, and Verlis Johnson did. But he had the antitype of Esau and didn't know it. He was antitypical Esau that ended up not knowing really who he was the antitype of, and therefore he ended up confused and thrown over what everything that he ever once understood as the truth for the purifying of the church. And so, Antipical Esau, Brother Johnson, Yahweh took his mercy from him. Or Yahshua did. Yahshua took his mercy from Brother Johnson, and he gave it to me, Antipical David. 2002, start the Passover. I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him, Brother Steady Johnson, that was before thee. 1 Chronicles 17:11-13. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Proverbs 29:2. Okay. While to the righteous, he makes the kingdom his place and protection, to the heathen, Yahweh makes it his battle axe. Okay. That's where we're at right now. Thou art my battle axe, he says. This new house of David, he says, you are my battle axe. And weapons of war. And weapons of war. Declares to Yahshua, this is a sign. This is this witness that Yahweh had given to the earth, okay, declares the Yahshua and the foreshadowing unto the posterity of Jacob their ultimate destiny. For with thee will I break in pieces the nation, and with thee will I destroy the kingdoms. And with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. And with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman. And with thee will I break in pieces old and young. And with thee will I break in pieces the young a man and a maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen, and with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. Jeremiah 51:20-23. For the stone in Daniel 2:45, Zechariah 3:9, the 144,000, Revelation 14:1, cut out of the mountain, and the lid is sin church without hand, without the human help, is to break the nations that are symbolized by the iron. There's got to be more clarity than that, though. It says a stone. If it's going to be used to break the nations, it has to be a represented person. A stone has to symbolize a person. And I would say this stone that's hewn out of the Seventh-day Adventist mountain represents Antipical David. Others would say it represents Yahshua. But Yahshua is the one that cuts this stone out of this mountain. Yahshua definitely got the power to get this thing done. No doubt he's the power behind it. And it's the power of Yahshua that comes from the Father in heaven, that will subdue all these nations by this stone. Without human help is to break the nations that are symbolized by the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold as a great image. And all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. So all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. So in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom. Okay. Yahweh of heaven is going to set up a kingdom with his son. And his son is going to set up his prince David, antitypical David, to be his source and which to do this through, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be a holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for the stubble. Okay. So in our day, this house of Esau would be Willis Johnson, the prophet that was under for 33 years, Kermit, Texas, headquarters, Gilead Center, Mount Gilead. And that place is already turned into stubble. I went there a year or so after we left there in 2003. I went back in about 2005 or something. I took a video of Verlis Johnson's residence, his house, and where he lived, and all of his buildings and stuff. And they were all weeds growing up, trees have died, and the screens were coming off the windows, nobody living in them. They have since been taken over by the city, and they're being occupied, no doubt, by people now. But all of his property that he was supposed to turn over to me, they went to the city, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remain of the house of Esau. That's exactly what happened. For the Asher has spoken it, and they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistine. Okay. And they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. Okay. This is interesting to know, because Kermit, Texas, the name of Mount Esau's place, was Mount Gilead. And it says Benjamin, the doorkeeper for Judah, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, is going to possess this Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel, shall possess that of the Canaanites, even under Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come from Mount Zion for the judging of the mount of Esau. Okay. And the kingdom shall be unto the Asher, shall belong to him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Asher shall be delivered, for in the Mount Zion and in Yerushalayim shall be deliverance, as the Yahshua has said, and in the remnant whom the Yahshua shall call. Obadiah 1:17-21, Joel 2:32. Okay, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Isaiah 60, verse 12. From the foregoing scriptures, we see that as a result of the rejection of the truth proclaimed by his church, the wicked go to destruction. And echoing this prophetic pronouncement of their doom, Yahshua declares, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, unto him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron." And the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, Revelation 2:26-27. He that overcometh, being the one who is to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and the need and the work of the overcoming being not his, but his followers, the truth is obvious that the Yahshua will have a victorious nation, a kingdom through which he will manifest his great power. There is that power of Yahshua, the Son. There it is, right there. It's called his great power. And which shall be a kingdom of peace. So Yahshua is going to run a kingdom of peace. At the same time, he's going to use his kingdom as peace. It's his battle axe that's going to thrust on the nations and subdue all. That a heaven-like safety and peace shall infuse the kingdom at the time that the Yahweh shall use it as his battle axe. Let's do it again. That a heaven like safety and peace shall infuse the kingdom at the time that the Yahshua the Son shall use it as his battle axe with which to smite nations is evidenced by the following scriptures. For the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, the young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass. And the winged child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. This shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Yahweh, as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11:69. When this state of the knowledge and peace prevails in the kingdom, then in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. This ensign, once again, is made up of Yahshua, the king, sitting upon his throne in his traveling sanctuary. And he comes in and out of David's throne, sits upon David's throne when he needs to. And David is this under prince shepherd, and he's called Antipical David. And those two together, they make up the ensign. Yahshua's banner is the lion. There's a picture of the lion on his banner, and the picture of David's banner is the star of David. And this shall the Gentiles see. Consequently, it is in the probationary time, in the last parabolic 12th hour, and in that day, the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people. Isaiah 11:10 and 11. And in that day, it says the Yahshua through his prophet Hosea, in the reiteration of his covenant of peace, but I make a covenant for them with the beast of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. Hosea 2:18. For a detailed treatment of the Hosea's chapters 1 and 2, read our tract number 4, The Latest News for Mother. As in the Noah's Ark, the type is so in the antipical Ark, the kingdom, everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44-45, nothing shall hurt or destroy it. For the lion, the wolf, the lamb, the leopard, the calf, and the fatling shall live peaceably together, and like the ox, all shall feed on the straw. Thus now, as in the Noah's time, Yahweh shall preserve a remnant of the man and beast out of his whole creation, instead of the exterminating every living thing and then creating them all over again. For the recognizing this fact, the Apostle Paul said, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of Yahweh. For the creature was made subject unto vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of Yahweh. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in the pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, for the witnessing of the redemption of our body." Romans 8:19-23. We all are waiting for this. And he will destroy in this mountain, this kingdom of peace, says Isaiah, the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory. And Yahweh will wipe away tears, Yahshua will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for Yahshua has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, the day in which Yahshua wipes away the tears from the faces of all his people, to this, lo, this is our Yahweh. We have waited for him. In other words, this is our Savior. This is our King, Yahshua. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Yes, sir, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation, for in this mountain shall the hand of Yahshua rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. Isaiah 25:7-10. And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquities. Isaiah 33:24. This is this new everlasting kingdom of David that Yahweh has raised up here in these last days as a fulfillment of the promise he made to David, because David wanted to build Yahweh a house back then, and Yahweh said, because it's in your heart to do this, I'm going to make a covenant with you that you're going to have a kingdom in the last days that's going to go into eternity. It's going to stand forever. Okay, and this is who we are. Bless the Yahshua, O my soul. Exalt David. And all that is written, may bless his holy name. Bless the Yahshua, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with the loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with the good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalms 103:1-5. For the further study of the subject of the continuation of the life, see our tract number 5, final warning, pages 63-65, revised edition, 1940. And I will strengthen the house of Judah. This is who the tribe of David, this is David's tribe. And I will save the house of Joseph. That's the 10 tribes, the one that ruled over the 10 tribes of Israel. And I will bring them again to place them. For I will have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Yahshua, the Savior, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through the wine, yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Yahshua. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them by my blood. I went ahead and finished that by my blood that the translator should have put in there. And they shall increase as they have increased. And I will sow them among the people. And they shall remember me in the four countries. And they shall live with their children and turn again. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt and get them out of Assyria. And I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon. And place shall be found for them, and he shall pass through the sea with the affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up. And the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. And I will strengthen them in the Yahshua, and they shall walk in my up and down in the name, saith the Yahshua. Zechariah 10:6-12. Unfailing assurance that ours is the supreme privilege to let Yahweh reign over us. Let's do it again. It is as our supreme privilege to let the Yeshua, the Son, reign over us as well. Also, this antitypical kingdom of David. For centuries, Yeshua's followers have prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Now the time has come for the prayer to be fulfilled. Let us live out our prayer, lest any of us be found among the unfaithful class with whom Yeshua concludes the following parable. Okay, so it says, found among the unfaithful class with whom Yeshua concludes the following parable. I put an S on that conclude. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country for the receiving for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, unto whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by the trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Master, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I had not, that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with the usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it unto him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Master, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies that would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Luke 19:12-27. For the certain nobleman in this parable is Yeshua himself, who soon after his resurrection departed unto the heaven of heavens, the far country, to be crowned King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns. His ten servants who are to occupy till his coming represents manifestly the ministry at the closing of the gospel dispensation. All bid. And Brother Johnson closed out the gospel dispensation at Gilead Center for the Seventh-day Adventists. And his citizens, accordingly, represents the laity. The subjects of the kingdom together, then, his servants and his citizens make up his entire kingdom, church. As they sent a message after him saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." The only conclusion admissible is that shortly before his return, Yahshua shall inform his citizens that he is taking the reins in his own hands to set up his kingdom. And that they, upon hearing the announcement, shall refuse to submit themselves unto the one through whom he is to rule. Observe that in the message which they sent after him, the servants did not say, "We will not have you to reign over us," but rather, "We will not have this man to reign over us." What they objected to was Yeshua reigning over them through someone else. Clearly then, before he is coronated and prior unto his return for the reckoning with his servants, he appoints a man to reign over them in his stead. Whereupon they say unto him, by their attitude and stand toward the message, "We will not have this man to reign over us, although this man, as we now see, is the antithetical David as a simple man, the visible king." Thus, when Yahshua returns and reckons with his servant, he rewards the faithful ones in the proportion as they have increased the principle. With which they started, but condemns those who have had no burden to work for the souls and for the advancing of his kingdom, and who have been content to let him do without their services. For this unfaithfulness, he takes from them the power, light of the truth, with which he had entrusted them, showing thereby that all are to be held responsible for every ray of light, for every lost moment, for every neglected opportunity. And those who will not have him thus reign over them shall, at his return, be slain before him, as were those who rebelled against Yahweh's government in the olden time. For the Jews, at the Yahshua's first advent, by the misunderstanding of his mission, because they were blind as to what their message and the ceremonial service taught them, and as to what the prophets wrote concerning him, misconstrued his doctrine of the kingdom, duly coveting the fruition of the long-held hope of the kingdom. They were upset by the Yahshua's strange teaching and were ready to stone him to death rather than to have their errors exposed before the multitude whom they kept in the darkness. So it is with the church today. She is as blind to the message of the hour and to the truth of the Yahshua's kingdom as were the Jews in their day, and as the message knocks at her door with the warning, her answer is, "Go thy way. I am rich and increased with the goods and have need of nothing." Though she is wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. For the church of Yahshua's day was determined to have the kingdom set up then, but not all was yet ready for it. The church today is determined not to have it now, when the end of all things is at hand. When the time is fully come, the Jews wanted back the kingdom, which they had lost, the kingdom of sin and sinners. They were eager to be freed from the Roman bondage only, instead of from sin and sinners. Also, consequently, when Yahshua said, "My kingdom is not of this world," John 18:36, they would not have it so, whereas the church today, blindly ignoring the scriptures, which plainly declare that Yahweh is now to set up his spotless kingdom, Yahshua, the Son, is now to set up his spotless kingdom, and is to free his people, not from the Babylonian body only, but from sin and sinners also, is determined to put it off until after the millennium. Such is the ironic perversity of the natural heart, even in the very face of the fact that in every way she is seen on the very verge of eternity in her purified state. And one of his grandest prophecies, Isaiah projects in lineaments unmistakable, the great and typical counterpart of the Exodus movement, "And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt," Isaiah 11:16, "as the Passover and the slaughter of the firstborn, first fruit, who had not the blood on the doorpost, release Yahweh's ancient people from the bondage of the Egypt, so shall the antiquical Passover," Ezekiel 9:4, Isaiah 66:16, "free the first fruits, the 144,000, the firstborn now from the bondage of sin and sinners to death. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem, when the Yahshua shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of the Yahrushim from the midst thereof by the spirit of the judgment and by the spirit of the burning. And Yahshua shall will create upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by the day and the shining of a flaming fire by the night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from rain." Isaiah 4:3-6. For a more detailed exposition of the Exodus movement in type and antitype, read the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, page 64-111. In the light of the present truth concerning the kingdom, the following prophecy along with the numerous other relevant prophecies, is self-interpreting. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down on thy throne, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the men wrought bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith Yahshua, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith Yahshua, thy people went down aforetime into Egypt for the sojourning there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without charge. Now therefore, what have I here, saith Yahshua, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith Yahshua. And my name, Yahshua, continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Okay, my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know that in that day that I am he that doth speak, behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings that of good, that publishes salvation. That saith unto Zion, thy Yahweh reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahshua shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Yahshua hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Yahshua hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Yahweh. And he says, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Yahshua, for they shall not go out without haste, nor go by flight, for the Yahshua will go before you, and the Yahweh of Israel will be your reward, and the Father will be, in other words, behind. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be made be very high. As the many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, so shall he sprinkle many nations for the kings. Shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Isaiah 52:1-15. Only those who have a part in this antiphonal Exodus movement will be privileged to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb, and to share in the promises of the covenant and the antitype. In the verse 30, this hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.
Praise Him, praise Him.
Praise Him, praise Him, Yahshua, blessed Redeemer. Sing, all earth is wonderful, love broken. Hail Him, hail Him,
highest archangels in glory, strength and honor, give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Joshua will guard his children, in his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Yahshua, blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He has wrought a hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Yahshua the crucified. Sound his praises, Yahshua who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Joshua, blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, love of Hosanna ring. Joshua, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Joshua is coming over the world victorious. Bow and glory unto the Yah belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.